This Week in Agriculture, a production of the Red River Farm Network. With a look at markets, I'm Randy Conan. Grain markets ended the week on a mixed note. U.S. Commodities President Don Rose says traders were taking risk premium out of the corn and soybean markets heading into the weekend.
The corn and soybeans haven't really gone anywhere. In the week, the soybeans had a big slide here going into a weekend. Brazil harvest again, probably by the end of the weekend, 70% complete on soybean harvest. So, you know, that selling bin should come to an end here. The corn market to end the week was getting a little bit of support from the wheat market, which pushed to the upside.
Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting President Mike Zuzulo thinks the week's grain market action has traders trying to play some catch-up.
Yeah, I think the trade was caught off guard by the fact that we went into this week seeing better precip for the droughty areas of the United States, better precip for the droughty areas of center west Brazil, but then an 11-inch rain hitting Argentina and parts of their crop belt, I think, really came out of nowhere for the most part. And I think you're right. We had to adjust to that in the market, and that created, I think, a big reason why those soybeans, led by the meal, has been able to find a lot of short covering.
Bennett Consulting analyst Matt Bennett said the grains were seeing some profit-taking as well.
I think it's one of those things where we've seen pretty darn good rallies compared to the previous few weeks, and you're probably rewarding some of these rallies. I mean, I think on the cash grain side of things, yesterday we saw a lot of movement, especially on the soybean side of things. But of course, whenever you get a 20-some cent rally, that's to be expected. And so a little disappointing to see corn, as you and I talk, seven three-quarter cents off their highs. But at the same time, I think this is going to be more of a stair-step approach. I don't think it's going to be straight up.
And with some snow in the forecast, Van Aun & Company market analyst Christy Van Aun is looking for a bump in the market to price those unpriced bushels.
Because in the long run, it's going to be a great thing. And we know that especially parts of Iowa into Wisconsin really need the moisture right now, and it looks like they're going to get it. And so it's a good thing. No one wants it, obviously, but, you know, in the long run, it's going to be beneficial. So, the market seems to kind of be cautious that, you know, it wants to maybe do something here. We also know that Managed Money lifted 40,000 contracts of corn last Tuesday to Tuesday. It wouldn't surprise me if they want to kind of lift some more coming into this end of March report, which is on the 28th. So you could be seeing some of that buying happening as well from Managed Money.
Total Farm Marketing market analyst Brandon Doherty said we saw two-sided action in the livestock trade.
Back and forth trade there for the most part as well. Both lives and feeders I would call relatively sideways over the past several sessions. Again, I think waiting for some news there. And of course, the direction that grains decide to take is probably going to impact cattle as well. If grains continue to kind of struggle here, that's probably going to lead to a little more upside just due to cheaper feed prices. But if grains kind of start finding their footing here, that may limit the upside in cattle.
Milk production in the 24 major dairy states totaled 17.4 billion pounds in February. That's up 2.4% from a year ago. In Minnesota, milk cow numbers dropped 7,000 head over the past year, but milk production was up 1.5%. South Dakota had the biggest increase in milk production, up 14.8%. That was helped by the addition of 19,000 cows to that state's dairy herd. That's a look at markets this week in agriculture. I'm Randy Conan.
Are you concerned with the amount of interest you're paying on your operating loan? Do you have grain in the elevator? We believe that recent improvements in basis provide an opportunity to generate cash flow. Let Van Aun & Company help you create a plan for not only those bushels, but also for the crop years ahead. Van Aun & Company can help you navigate the unknowns of grain and livestock marketing. Call us today at 1-800-648-5494. 1-800-648-5494.
When market prices rise and fall, or an important decision is made on Capitol Hill, the first choice for farmers and ranchers is the Red River Farm Network. Trust Don Wick, Randy Conan, Whitney Pittman, and Sierra Doctor. To deliver the news that impacts your bottom line, go online to rrfn.com to find your local Red River Farm Network radio station. Podcasts are also available online at rrfn.com, iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. Your number one source for agriculture information, the Red River Farm Network.
With a look at farm news this week in agriculture, I'm Tyler Donaldson. The number of farms growing wheat has dropped significantly. According to USDA's Economic Research Service, the number of wheat farms in the U.S. declined more than 40% since 2002. There were nearly 170,000 wheat farms in 2002 and just over 97,000 20 years later. The number of farms producing durum wheat had the biggest percentage drop, down nearly 60%. Mississippi joins the growing list of states looking to restrict sales of ag land to foreign groups. According to a November report drafted by a newly formed State Ag and Commerce Committee, from 2011 to 2021, over 100,000 acres of Mississippi farmland was sold to foreign non-residents. The Minnesota Senate Agriculture Committee advanced a bill to increase funding for the state's Agricultural Growth and Innovation Program. Committee Chair Eric Putnam introduced the bill.
Agri, with the programs that they support through Department of Ag, and the flexibility that it gives the Department of Ag to respond to important issues, is too important to the state of Minnesota to let it languish. Members and Mr. Chair, the bill we have before us today will take one step towards remedying some of the budgetary shortfall that we suffered last session.
Agri supports numerous programs, including biofuels infrastructure, crop research, and meat processing county fair grants. The bill was laid over for inclusion in an omnibus bill. Brian Sorensen has been selected as the new executive director for the Minnesota Wheat Research and Promotion Council and Minnesota Association of Wheat Growers. Sorensen is a native of Fisher, Minnesota, and has been a program manager with Northern Crops Institute since 2018. Sorensen's first day on the job will be April 2nd. Faced with ongoing criticism from its farmers, the European Union is preparing to impose tariffs on grain imports from Russia and Belarus. The wheat imports are expected to receive the U.S. equivalent of $103 per metric ton. A 50% tariff on oilseed products is also expected. The Minnesota Corn Growers Association was one of many agriculture groups on Capitol Hill this week. President Dana Allen Tully said that the farm bill was heavily discussed.
There is some optimism out here about getting it done before we go into 2025. And then also, talking with EPA on getting our waiver for 2024 so that unleaded 88 is able to be offered year-round is also a critical issue that we've been talking with.
The White House is out with new rules for tailpipe emissions for most cars and pickup trucks purchased between 2027 and 2032. To meet these standards, 30 to 40% of all light vehicles sold in 2030 would need to be electric. National Corn Growers Association President Harold Woolley says this rule ignores the role of biofuels and will hurt farmers in rural communities. Growth Energy CEO Emily Score said ethanol is a proven American-made solution, but the EPA may be leaving biofuels on the sidelines. During a House Ag Committee meeting on the dangers posed by China on American agriculture, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem expressed concerns over the risks to national security by Chinese landowners in America.
We all saw when China purchased land in North Dakota that they claimed was for a corn processing plant, that there wasn't going to be enough corn in that area to supply that plant, and that it was just miles from a military installation. They were purchasing that land on purpose for national security reasons, and that is why I've made it a priority in my state to ensure that that doesn't happen on my watch. In South Dakota, we worked for 2 years to make sure that we had a bill in place that would make sure we know who's buying our land and that it wasn't going to be from a country that hated us. China would never allow us to go to their country and buy land in their country. They don't even allow their own people to buy their land.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack faced the House Agriculture Appropriations Subcommittee Thursday, highlighting President Biden's 2025 budget request. Topics addressed included the use of commodity credit corporation funds, workforce issues, and government nutrition programs. And the Minnesota Beef Council has awarded a Crookston meat market with its annual Minnesota Retail Beef Backer Award. B&E Meats offers a wide variety of fresh and smoked meats. During the Christmas season, B&E Meats shared a prime rib cooking instruction video online, and it received more than 1 million views. That was a look at the news this week in agriculture for the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson.
The Minnesota Corn Growers Association has worked tirelessly in the interests of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, they're at the table when you can't be. But like you, they can't do it alone. Their strength is their members. The strength is in you. Join Minnesota Corn as it continues to advocate for the American corn farmer. Visit mncorn.org and become a member today. Imagine this. You gather a stadium full of farmers, step up to the podium, and tell them about your business. What would that be worth to you and your company? This is Don Wick from the Red River Farm Network. We fill that stadium every day with some of the most progressive-minded, forward-thinking farmers and ranchers around the world. Find out how the Red River Farm Network can carry your message to farmers and ranchers. We're the Red River Farm Network, and we're reporting agriculture's business.
With a look at weather this week in agriculture, I'm Randy Conan. Midwest will continue to see regular rounds of rain and snow over the next week and a half. World Weather Incorporated says the moisture will be welcome in the western areas while field work will be delayed in the east. Snow, possibly heavy in a few locations, could impact the Dakotas and Minnesota through Tuesday. Cold temperatures will be in place, though, through late next week. Welcome rains fell in many of the driest areas from Paraguay to Mato Grosso do Sul this week, bringing temporary improvements in crop condition. World Weather Incorporated says much of Brazil received rains as well. The exception was the north central and northeastern areas, which stayed dry. Frequent rains are expected over the coming week for the southern half of Brazil. Argentina expected to be dry outside of a few areas in the west central and southern regions, allowing for better field work conditions. Been much talk about the coming switch from El Nino to La Nina and what that may mean for U.S. agriculture. However, Nutrien Ag Solutions principal atmospheric scientist Eric Snodgrass is more excited about the two-week forecast.
And the reason why I'm a bit excited about it is because snow at this time of year, the way that it melts gives us a better chance at recovering some of that soil moisture. And anything we can recover before any sort of late spring or summer drought risk comes into play is important.
Snodgrass expects the impacts of La Nina to slowly migrate its way to the north.
So here's the big idea for this transition away from El Nino into La Nina. I think it's going to happen at a relatively quick pace, but the impact could be not felt probably until late summer. There's pretty good indication of decent spring moisture returning to the area, good thunderstorm activity returning to the area. And the most kind of common forecast from the weather forecast models suggests that drought starts in Mexico, creeps into Texas and the Four Corner states, and then late in the summer spreads up through the western plains into the northern plains.
EnDon Director Daryl Richeson is quick to remind everyone that those climate patterns are based on three-month averages, and because of that, we likely won't know if we're in a La Nina until sometime in September.
The thing to remember is technically El Ninos and La Ninas and whatever's happening in the Pacific Ocean are three-month averages. And so what's happening on a day-to-day or week-to-week basis doesn't necessarily get things changed, but things are changing. El Nino is fading away, and we will be transitioning to La Nina again. We had one for 3 years. This one probably won't last 3 years, but it will be with us, especially in the latter half of the summer, this upcoming autumn, and very likely the 24-25 winter. We'll either be under a weak or maybe a moderate La Nina moving forward.
The weekly crop progress report is out for key winter wheat states. 55% of the crop in Kansas is rated good to excellent. That's up from 53% last week. In Texas, 46% of the winter wheat crop has the top rating, also up 2%. Oklahoma's winter wheat conditions declined from 65% to 61%. USDA will begin its regular weekly crop progress reports April 1st. Allendale is out with its new acreage forecast. The brokerage firm projecting corn acreage at 93.4 million acres, soybean acreage at 85.8 million, and the all wheat total at 47.6 million. USDA releases its prospective plantings report next Thursday. That's a look at weather this week in agriculture. I'm Randy Conan.
At Common Ground North Dakota, you'll find farmers from diverse backgrounds sharing an authentic conversation about the food we grow and the way we farm. We're here to bridge the gap between farmers and consumers, promoting understanding and an appreciation for our agricultural industry. Join us online for our podcast and blog at commongroundnorthdakota.com. That's commongroundnorthdakota.com. Common Ground is sponsored by the North Dakota Corn Council.
Wildfires have devastated Texas ranches, burning millions of acres of rangeland, destroying buildings and fences, and killing thousands of cattle. You can help by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. To make a tax-deductible donation, go to texasfarmbureau.org and click the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page. 100% of every dollar you donate will go directly to a Texas rancher to help them rebuild. Go to texasfarmbureau.org to donate.